So this life that that you are living, this life that I am living, our lives, they're not dress rehearsals. This is not dress rehearsal. This is the real deal. This life that we are living. And so we want to live life on purpose, right? With purpose, on purpose, trying to experience life in its abundance, experience all that life is intended for us. Those of us who follow Christ are looking to our faith to show us how we can experience that life and have it in abundance. That's what Christ promised us. That's what the Christian life yields to us. And so when we look at God's Word, when we look at what Jesus said about this, we find over and over, really, and what I would say is this is a deceptively simple answer. Now, it's not that God was trying to be deceptive. It's just that we look at it, it seems so simple that we say, that can't be all. It's got to be much more complicated than that, right? But Jesus said many times, and it's the witness throughout Scripture, you know, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, love God and love others. And so we look at this and we say, well, that's just simple. That's something I learned in vacation Bible school as a child. But to live that out, to truly live that out each day of our life is a difficult task, to know how to live life, live it with gratitude, live it with generosity, how to love God with our whole hearts. We have so many things pulling us in so many directions. And so this morning, I want us to look at this, and in particularly in light of the text. Next week, I'll be starting a new sermon series. But this week, I just went back to the lectionary and got the gospel text, and I said, that's a good one for us to be reminded of and to preach on. And so it comes from Luke's gospel, chapter 12, but I want to look in addition to that, to something Paul wrote in Philippians 2. As we consider this subject inside out, now, had I, I have a deadline when it comes to bulletins and sermon titles, that sort of things. I might have titled it a little bit different, but you'll get the point. And I guess the real point is I do want us to live our lives inside out, inside out. I'm going to do a little example here real quick, and we'll use our acolytes for this. You guys, can y'all come help me for a second or something? Okay. So let's stand here, hold hands. Can you hold your hands? I mean, you won't get cooties, I promise. Great. Okay, and so this is nice, isn't it? Standing here, looking at each other, holding hands. I like that. Now, I think there's a lot of people and a lot of churches that live their lives kind of like this. You know, we're all here. We love each other. We're very, very nice people, but we're just looking inward. So what I want to do now is, you know, kind of turn and make a circle going. You're going to grab, turn around and grab hands this way. Okay? And you're going to grab his hand back around that, make a circle. Okay. So we're really still close to each other. We still see each other, right? But we're facing outward. And as we think about, like, our church, as we're thinking about what the Christian life should be, That's really kind of it. Within a church, this is a better example from church than individuals, but I think you can get it. Y'all can sit down now. It is that we're facing outward towards the world, and that's not keeping it all inside, but it's inside out. But also keeping in mind that there's this motion to the Christian life. And it really kind of begins with this sort of upward motion. And my wife reminded me of this example after the first service. I thought it was a good one. You know, if you look at the cross, it's a great example of that we live our lives, we're turned towards God, we're receiving from God. Love the Lord with God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But we are reaching out to others. That is, if we want to live life, if we want to live life purposely, if we want to live life well, that's the way we live it. Not about ourselves, but about others. A life of service, a life of love and thinking about the other person. And so that's why, you know, the gospel text, we'll get into in a second. We're going to break it down a little bit verse by verse. But this text from Philippians, when you look at Jesus Christ, it's the greatest example of this. And this beautiful, beautiful hymn from Philippians 2, we see it. It says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." Do we see this lived out in our culture today? We don't. You know, it's all about winners and losers. And what have I got? And what can I take from you? To consider others, you know, above yourself, not looking to your own interest, but to each of you, to the interest of others. In your relationships with one another, have this same mindset that Jesus Christ had, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Christ's love for this world, showing us and setting an example of how to live life in abundance, live life the way it was intended. Lived it as a servant. He was always reaching out and thinking about the others. Whether it was washing the disciples' feet or eating with the people that were considered the outcasts and sinners of that time. He wasn't impressed by wealth or possessions or influence or power. He was influenced by the heart. And he looked right inside folks and show them how to live life from the inside out. And so with Christ as our example, we look now at this text from Luke's gospel. It's Labor Day weekend. I'm going to try to preach a little bit shorter today, so you get a bonus for coming to church on Labor Day weekend. But this is a great text, Luke 12. And Jesus is preaching, and if you go back and look a little bit earlier, you see he's preaching to the crowds. And as he did, he would preach on a variety of things. But I'll tell you one thing that he was not preaching on that morning, that evening, wherever it was. He wasn't preaching on, like, how to settle in an estate. He wasn't talking about how do you break out your inheritance. But someone in the crowd, so preoccupied with this, blurts out, you know, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." If you read it and go back, I encourage you to do so. It's really kind of like out of the blue, this guy comes out with this thing. And you know how it is. You're at church or you're somewhere and your mind's on something else. And this must have been overwhelming to him. Because those can be extremely tough and dividing and family wrecking times, right? Dividing up inheritance. How many of you have gone through that? Well, or no family members who have gone through that, settling estate. I've just seen some horrible things. When my parents died, my family, I think, did real well with it. But when my grandmother died on my dad's side, I remember being at the funeral home and my aunt coming in with her jewelry box and, like, dividing up, giving it to the children and other aunts, and it was just going crazy, you know. And so it's just like, wait, that was mine. She promised me that. That's mine. That's supposed to be mine. And, you know, and just it's just tacky. I mean, it's just selfish. It's just very, very difficult. So you can see how this man had this all on his mind. And so he says, "Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" Like, dude, who appointed me? No, he didn't say it that way, but it's kind of what it looks like. "Man, you know, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" And so what he did, he begins, and, you know, he takes that man's where that man was and meets him, and he says, "Watch out and be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And I emphasize that because this is what the parable is really focused on and about. Now, this parable gets used in different ways. Sometimes it's used during stewardship, and appropriately so, because it does have stewardship connotations. Sometimes it does get used in talking about end times and talking about the Christ to return, and no one knows the hour or day, and appropriately so, because it does address that. But primarily what we are looking at is this about greed, and that life doesn't consist in abundance of possessions. And so as we see it broken out, we can see those themes. And so he told this parable. The ground of a certain man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain." And so I'm obviously emphasizing, but what is indicting to this guy is just how selfish he is. No thought of anybody else. No thought of this. No thought that this gift came from God, that God had blessed him and he could bless others, but only, "This is mine. What am I going to do with all my stuff that I have earned?" And so he is living this life completely inwardly focused, not outwardly focused. And so it continues, and he says, "And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. And, of course, you can't take it with you." And God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And that is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God." And so I really just want to make a couple of points here. But, you know, why was the farmer foolish? Why is he called foolish? Was he called foolish because he had money, because he had wealth? No, there's nothing wrong with money. Money is a tool. Money can be very, very good and do lots of very, very good things. But it's our perception of money and how we use the money. It was all about his money and not about how that could bless other people. Was it because he built these storehouses, these barns? I don't think so. I don't think there's wrong with preparing. You know, he was being organized and preparing. There's nothing wrong with that, except that he was going to be hoarded just for him and his life of abundance. Not saying, "I'm going to set up storehouses so now there will be this endowment that's going to be sustained for generations, so that the generations in this community will be blessed and little kids will be able to go to school and have enough to eat because I've set this aside." It wasn't about that at all. It was all about how it could be for him, how it could bless him, about being inwardly focused, when we are called to be outwardly focused. There's nothing wrong with money. It's how we use money, how we think about money. There's nothing wrong with, you know, investing and building store. It's how we think about it and how we share it. You know, we need to love God and then love others. And what God has blessed us with, what comes our way, that will be shared to others. And when we see that, when we begin to get this motion in life and understanding where it comes from, then we begin to see how it can be an abundant life to live. And so the one thing that I would encourage you about this, and then we'll move to Holy Communion, is that we live our lives gratefully. We live our lives generously and with gratitude. And in that comes this pre-understanding of that it's not qualified in any way. It's unconditional. If we think, you know, that, all right, I'm going to give you some of my stuff, but you owe me. I got, you know, you need to get back. This, I'm doing this for you, but it's going to be a favor. You know, I'm giving this gift to you, but you know, you better come back to me. When we do that, when we're expecting, we do things expecting something out of somebody else, we're not doing it generously. We're not doing it out of abundance. We're doing that expecting to receive something. We're laying up these treasures in these barns that are going to be collected on later on. But when we learn to live life in a generous way, then we begin to see the kingdom of God. I think one of the greatest ways in which we see that is when we gather at this table. You know, when Jesus, who he himself was God, but did not consider himself equal with God, but humbled himself as a servant. And on that night that he was betrayed, came into the upper room and washed the disciples' feet. He came as a servant. He said he broke the bread and he blessed the cup, and they shared in that. And he said, "Remember me. Remember how I lived my life when you are gathered together." I need a bulletin. I need the somehow another guy. In your bulletin.